Cam Miles thing kind of started the week in the wrong direction, though, Kurt. How do you handle that publicly? Because there's so much that can't be said anymore when people ask about this. It wasn't on campus. It was off campus. When it involves an athlete and all that, there's a lot of rules, isn't there, on the stance of the university?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, from a public standpoint, I mean, you saw what we released, and that's pretty much all we do. Not a lot we can talk about, and that's why those statements are brief and to the point. And that's really no different than what I've done in the past in a situation like this. And you know, we'll kind of leave it at that. But
yeah.
That's publicly, that's how we handle it. Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm assuming the decision is yours, or is it Brian Harsin's?
It's more than just Brian and I. I think it's important that, you know, leadership on campus is aware, and not even really talking about just athletics. I mean,
sure.
Just in general with our entire student body. Certain people need to be kept in the loop, and you know, that was no different this time around.
Is sexual assault, not what happened this time, but in terms of domestic battery, domestic assault, sexual misconduct, you know, which is another case that you had to deal with, but just generally speaking in society, is that a zero tolerance issue anymore moving forward?
Well, it is in my opinion, you know, and I'm not sure I feel any different today than I did 5 years ago. It's just, it's such a hot topic right now across the country.
Yeah.
And, we're really only talking about athletics. We're not, in a sense, we're not even talking about all the other statistics on campus, not just at Boise State, but I think it's a, you know, it's a challenge and a problem, across the country. And, when I say no tolerance, I think we talked about this earlier. You know, it truly is a case by case basis, at least for me. And I look at them differently, and I make sure that I have as much information as I can possibly gather before any decision is made. I just think that's really important. And these cases are different, you know, and I think that's important to us on our campus that we make sure, you know, we have as much of the correct information as we possibly can before we make a decision. But zero tolerance, Mike, if it's not zero tolerance, it's pretty darn close to it. Yeah.
So this isn't meant to shirk responsibility or to say that the athletes have a higher or lower preponderance of this occurring to them. It's just the ones we hear about. So
yeah.
I know the Title IX office on campus would be dealing with these kinds of complaints from residents of the dorms if they have these challenges, or any female student that attends Boise State that may have a challenge that can go in there. Statistically speaking, are the athletes any higher or lower having things reported about them and their activity than whatever other reports the Title IX or the campus security people deal with?
You know, I don't know those exact numbers. You know, what I can tell you, and you guys know this already, I mean, we're talking about 23,000 students. I mean, it's another city within a city. And mm-hmm. So that's 23 kids that, not kids. I mean, we've got some, you know, some older students, but you know, for the most part, the average age of somewhere between 18 and 26 or 27, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 living on campus, you know, away from home for the first time. We're not just talking about 400 student athletes here. I mean, this is an on-campus, issue that happens across the country. And fortunately or unfortunately for student athletes, it's media driven. And so you might hear about something that's going on in our athletic department, and there's a very, you know, a very good possibility. And not, again, not just at Boise State, that on campus, the same thing may happening that, you know, may be happening that nobody hears about. And so, you know, they're held to a higher standard, but they know that coming in. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's explained in the very beginning. And I'm not, please don't think I'm even talking about Cam Miles. I'm just talking about student athletes in general on campuses are in the media, and they're being watched all the time when they're successful and when there's something that goes wrong. And they understand that when they come in. We talk a lot to our student athletes about that. They represent something much, much bigger than themselves. And, that is made very, very clear when they step on campus with us. So.
Don't take this question wrong, because it's going to sound bad, but
you're setting it up for failure, Mike.
I know. But the intentions are well. Of course you take it seriously. Of course Brian Harsin takes it seriously. I know he brings in experts to talk, and it's pounded over these kids' heads over and over and over again. They're like teenagers who need to be told they need to take out the garbage 7 times before they finally do it. But going back to last year with David Lucero, then the sexual misconduct case with the three kids, and now this one. Do you and Coach Harsin have to sit down and talk about doing more?
Yeah.
Because there's a trend there now.
Yeah,
there's
no, I think we do, and Brian's very well aware of that. But that's not something that we do just because something happened. I mean, we talk about that every year. And it's not even about all the time, you know, well, are we going to have a problem with this guy in this area? This is just in general talking about bringing great people on campus. And that's a conversation we have every single year. And I don't want to use the phrase there's only so much you can do, because you can always do more, and we'll always do more if we think that's going to help. But, you know, at some point, I think you've got to just make sure that we're doing our due diligence in recruiting. And again, I don't want this to just be football, all about football. And our coaches, for the most part, do a great job of bringing in the right kind of kids. And sometimes, these are young people and they make mistakes. And, you know, sometimes you got to knock on wood a little bit. But yeah, Brian and I will have this conversation like we do every year. And it might be a little different this time around because, you know, some things have happened, and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about ways that we can get better at it. And, the good thing about him is he's very open to that conversation, and he knows we're going to have that talk. We've already started talking about it, but we do that every year. So,
hey, Kurt, is there an open evaluation of an athlete if they transfer, get expelled, or leave, or whatever? And you guys look at that and say, okay, we brought in this many scholarship kids, every sport, or analyze them individually. Mm-hmm. And want to know the reasons, and then look at the averages and understand, comparatively speaking, maybe with other schools or other conferences, or every circumstance is different. How is that analyzed, per se?
Well, you know, most of the time that information is not available. We've got to almost get it sometimes like you get it. But that's why it's so important in the process of, you know, you're looking at these kids for 1 or 2 years in some sports, women's soccer, volleyball. I mean, those kids are getting recruited after their summer year of their sophomore year. So you got to get to know the kids and the coaches and the people on campus. For me, what's probably most important in all that is being in the home and seeing the type of environment they're around and talking to mom and dad or whatever it might be, and just really getting to know this kid and their family as people. And, I think our coaches do a really good job of that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, this time around, it certainly didn't end up for one of our players like I hoped it would, but, I think you got to do your homework. If you're talking about, I think maybe you're headed towards like a background check or.
No. I'm saying if you've had 42 kids come in through Brian Harsin since he's been in here and 17 of them have left, mm-hmm. you look at all the reasons why. And you want to know, okay, is that average? Is that high? Is that
right.
low?
Yeah.
Why did they leave? You know, you run these trends and you analyze it. I'm sure he does. I don't know if you do it for every sport. Yeah. If it's high, we were talking about it. I don't know what's high or low until I look at other schools, other majors on campus too, and how they come and go.
I'm not sure I look as much at the numbers, more than I look at the reasons why. You know, we got a lot of guys that just decided to go somewhere else because they weren't playing here. And that's okay. I mean, that happens everywhere in every sport. I mean, it's not, I don't know how many we have in our department that happened with, but I can guarantee you other kids in other sports left because they weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not even be because they weren't good enough to play here. Maybe they came here, they didn't fit in, or they were playing a position that they weren't comfortable playing, or they didn't like the guy playing second base, you know, or whatever. I mean, I look at the reasons, I guess, behind it a little more. That's a little more important to me, unless the numbers just, I mean, you know, astronomical,
right?
Field of team or something like that. But the reasons behind it are probably a lot more important to me than the actual statistics on how we rank against another school or another conference or something like that.